Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast, a conversation that changes the way you view all relationships, whether married, single, parent, or professional. Discover the relationship secret hidden in plain sight. And now the intersection of theology and psychology, conversations between pastor
and psychologist.
They are father and son. Your hosts, Emerson and Jonathan Egerich.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Welcome to the Love and Respect Podcast. I'm Jonathan Egerich, joined here by my father, Emerson Egerich. As always, we are glad that you're here with us, and we're so grateful for your being with us. We are just, again, excited as we think about, we are approaching 100 episodes, and we were talking about this recently, and we're just amazed by it, and we're trying to put our heads together of, you know, whether we attempt to do something special in terms of a topic for the 100th episode, but we're leaning towards also kind of having a giveaway with the 100th episode, kind of some gift baskets. We'll have more about that to come, but where you can kind of enter to win and then be entered, actually five more entries by leaving us kind of an iTunes review, or those of you that have already given us one can submit your iTunes name to be entered more than once. So we're trying to be a little bit creative and kind of have a win-win for everybody. But I think we're at like 122 reviews on iTunes now. And I know we've spoken at length about how much that helps us get traction, but it's just become apparent to us that that is the one of the main ways that we do that. So again, stay tuned for that. We're building a little landing page for that where you can easily enter and tell us your iTunes name if you've left a review. And you can do that now and then post all of this, give us your iTunes name as well, and we'll go back and look for those. But again, we're always grateful for those of you that do that there or on your own podcast app that you have and elsewhere. But today is episode 96, four away from 100. And this episode is titled, Do You Feel Judged as Stupid or Wrong, Which Leaves You Feeling Unloved and Disrespected? We'll jump into that in just a second. If you didn't have a chance to check out last week's episode, that was an important one, I hope, for you as listeners. But as I think was clear, it's an important one for my dad as well, as he was seeking feedback about people that have come through marital crisis or are experiencing some really positive things as they're in the midst of a crisis right now. That one was titled, What Did You Do to Come Through Your Marital Crisis? And again, if you haven't had a chance to check that out, you can do that via our app for all mobile devices, which you can download in your respective app stores, loveandrespectpodcast.com, our social media feeds, or our website as well. So you can access that there.
And they can write me at story@loveandrespect.com, story@loveandrespect.com.
I forgot to mention that. That is in the show notes on loveandrespectpodcast.com. It may pull up in the app as well, but in both places, I attempted to leave the PDF for listeners that you can view or download, which gives you a guide to email my dad at that email address that he just gave, story@loveandrespect.com, and it gives you an outline for how you write about the crisis that you were in or are in right now. So that was the, thanks for jumping in on that, but that's all the correct information I think they need at this point, correct, Dad?
Mm-hmm. No, that's great, okay. And I appreciate those who have already written. It's exciting to hear the stories, and when you help me, it enables me to help others, so keep that in mind as well. I appreciate the willingness to take the time to share with me the things that have been going on in your crisis or former crisis.
Yeah. And again, as I said on the website, and I think I said last week, but want to mention again, if you're listening to this podcast 3 months from the date that it posted or 3 years from now, these things should all hold true as well. You can still email at story@loveandrespect.com. So if you're listening to this 3 years from now, please don't be shy about sending your story. Thanks.
Of course, I could be dead by then, so it may be a moot point. So do check if my funeral has transpired. But until that point, yes, I welcome this and am excited about it.
Apart from a life ending, please do so.
Yes, so. Not to be morbid.
So today's title, Do You Feel Judged or as Stupid or Wrong, Which Leaves You Feeling Unloved and Disrespected? I'll turn it over to you, Dad.
Well, this is a question that I want to ask you, because we get the emails from people who in one way or another say, my spouse makes me feel stupid. I feel like I can never be right. Feels like I'm always wrong. And so when I get these, my heart kind of melts when I hear what people say. And Jonathan, read what this lady wrote, because I think it captures well. And then we're going to look at what a man wrote me, feeling kind of the same way. But let's listen in on what she said.
She wrote, "Hi, I am a Christian wife who appreciates your books, and I have been working on being a respectful wife for the past 4 years, since before my husband and I were married. I am thankful for being introduced to the message of love and respect early on. But I was wondering if you have any experience dealing with a wife's stupidity as a barrier to motivating a husband to love. I know that the I in CHAIRS, that's the acronym from Love and Respect, means to respect a husband's insight, and I do. But that's easy because my husband is brilliant. He's a nuclear engineer, writes music, you name it, he can do it. I, on the other hand, am pretty average, possibly a little below at times." And then she wrote an emoticon smiley face. "My husband, while he loves me, is continually exasperated by this and cannot seem to get over it. Anytime I make a mistake, and I'm not talking about disrespectful communications, I'm talking about forgetting to buy milk at the store, breaking a glass by accident, or not being able to give good directions, things that other people see as just everyday life, he blows up. I know it is good to be aware of one's flaws, but the constant criticism makes me sad. I try to use humor to lighten the situation. I admit what I did was stupid. I use respect talk to appreciate him, especially focusing on praising him when he chooses to take a mistake in stride rather than becoming angry. But lately I am getting worn, especially in the sense of humor department, from dealing with the constant, underlying, simmering aggravation that I know is waiting to leap out at me the second I screw up. I feel like I can never relax or ask my husband for help with anything, or else he will sigh and bemoan the fact that I'm too incompetent to do it myself. I know that I should be focused on the rewarded cycle and how God still loves me, but I want my husband to love me too."
Yeah, I'd like to hand him a hand, kind of a stick of dynamite with a short fuse, and then I run as fast as I can away from him and watch him blow up as I'm seeing him in the distance evaporate. I mean, this is the kind of guy you just want to strangle. And there was more to her email, but she's a tender, humble woman. But this guy is treating her like she is a complete idiot. And this condescending attitude, this irritation he has with her, I mean, it's arrogant on his part. But I want to come back, how does she deal with this? What does a woman do like this? And we want to address that. But it isn't just the woman who feels like she's stupid and can never do anything right. Read what this man wrote, Jonathan, on the other side of this equation.
He writes, "My wife and I have had problems in our marriage for a while. I believe we have a much bigger problem in our marriage than my wife does. I have hit rock bottom and am truly unhappy. I find my wife more and more controlling and manipulative, as I am the one who always has to purposely lose a fight or argument before she gets happy. I am very concerned about my wife's happiness, and if she is not happy, I can't be happy either. So, I have to be the one who is always wrong and loses the arguments to make her happy. However, I remain unhappy. This leaves me miserable, and I can't take it anymore. One of the things she complains to me about is that I'm not supportive enough. You see, in a discussion, we may have different opinions, and when I have a hard time agreeing with her, she gives me the line how unsupportive I am. Personally, I am at a point now that I have been thinking of divorce as the only solution, but I have never said that to my wife as I am scared of her reaction and I don't want to say anything to hurt her if we can solve our marriage problems. Normally, I guess it is the wives who request counseling, but in this case, it is me, the husband."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you want to say to the guy, are you a man or a mouse? Squeak up. But not to be condescending toward him. I mean, the point is, this is how a lot of men feel. And I have to be honest, the feminist movement has really created a mindset that women are better, are smarter, and even though women have this fluidity of inferiority and inadequacy and have the sensitivity and on a personal basis are to be adored at many levels, in the home, they can really become just, in this case, just, if she's not happy, then it's his fault. And that's because you see these big billboards, happy wife, happy life. And the implication is if your wife's not happy, your life's not going to be happy. And if she's not happy, it's because you're not making her happy. And guys are just feeling worn out by this. I even see advertisements on TV now. Women have started businesses 2 times more than men. I mean, if we were saying men started businesses two times more than women, the outcry would be incredible. We are allowing for a deep-seated arrogance to come over females in this culture, but we allow for it because we know they're tender and they're nurturing. But that doesn't mean, as a Christ follower, there can't be incredible arrogance and a condescending attitude. And this guy is suffering because of it. So now that I've set the stage for the earlier husband needing a stick of dynamite and this guy being challenged with arrogance, how do we tiptoe through this thing? Because you've got some sad people here. This wife is sad. The husband is sad. You know, what do they do? But before we get into that, Jonathan, anything strike you as you read through these? And am I being too tough? Am I being too cruel in some of my reaction?
Well, I think as you always say, and you try to do a good job of this, I mean, we're hearing one side of the story, you know, in these instances. And yet, as you read through hundreds and hundreds of emails, you get a sense often when people are being genuine and fairly, you know, representing, you know, both sides. But, you know, but we don't know. And so we're taking each person's kind of side in a vacuum, you know, to some extent. And my heart goes out, you know, to both. In the first case, you know, the woman who writes beautifully and eloquently, mm-hmm. which seems
she's
to contradict
no dummy.
The very,
exactly. Right? Yeah.
And then the same case with this, you know, with this man. I mean, he's hurting. He's sad, and yet, you know, we I think see some timidity in him, and maybe both of us being men, it's unfair to kind of come at him a little bit in terms of kind of, you know, stand up a little bit. But you know, he feels stuck.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, you know, question arises: what is the kind of the solution here? And I want to say, when we feel stupid and wrong in the marriage, it's important that we do not, and this is easy for me to say, and that's why I'm going to say it, not to draw wrong conclusions about who we are, that especially when that's not how God views us. And this is what we kind of want to touch on a little bit, but also we end up reacting in ways that don't remedy the pain. And so there's two ideas here that, you know, we're going to have to come to grips with, you know, who are we really? Are we really stupid? Are we really wrong? And is the remedy going to be divorcing, like in the case of this guy? You know, and in the case beginning with him, you know, this fellow says, you know, basically, you know, I can't ever do anything right. I'm wrong. And, you know, I think the only remedy here is divorce. I mean, and you see many people today who just say, you know, I'm done. I'm worn out. I'm finished. The pain is so real, this man is entertaining leaving his wife for good, although he's afraid to even bring it up for fear of what that reaction is going to be. But here's the thing that saddens me, Jonathan. I mean, he's neither wrong nor stupid. I mean, there's, you know, I mean, obviously all of us make dumb decisions here and there, but so does she. I mean, so we're not looking at perfection here. There's going to be a degree of imperfection. But I guess in the question overall, is this guy really that wrong, really that unsupportive? And I don't think you and I would either conclude that he's that far off base.
So are we going to look at how he might respond first? Is that what
correct.
We're going to do?
Look at him first. So why entertain divorce to be the remedy, since that doesn't solve the problem? That's not going to solve the problem. Divorce, and this is very important, it's amazing to me how many people think divorce is the solution, divorce is the answer. Not in this situation. It's not the answer to his problem, especially since he isn't wrong per se. I mean, given that we all agree together that she's just coming uncorked on him because he isn't being to her what she wants him to be, and it doesn't seem to me that the guy has this obstinate personality type A, you know, he's not coming at her. He's actually quite probably passive with her and easily, you know, accommodating to her according to what he's saying. So it's not like she is, quote, walking on eggshells and pins and needles and is a doormat. Well, I don't think that she would even describe her husband as that way. In fact, I'm going to make the point that she's probably reacting because he's not as firm as he should be. But here again, he's not wrong per se, but like many, he's unhappy. So he thinks divorce will stop his unhappiness and lead to happiness. And if you're listening today and you think, you know what, I just don't have any other alternative here than this to proceed with divorce, I'm going to tell you that is not going to bring about happiness. You may have less unhappiness for a period of time. You know, it's kind of like, I'm finally free. I can go to the bars, or I can do this, or I can go to no one's going to tell me what to do. I can be home when I want to. I can get up when I want to. Yeah, there's going to be a liberation there for a period of time. But at some point, you're going to wake up one day and realize, you know what, I don't think that divorce was the solution here to my happiness. Although there are a lot of people out there that will say that. Why? Because they have something to defend, don't they? Once they proceed that way, you have to bolster your position. This is why the more unrighteous a culture becomes, the more unrighteous that culture will become. Why? Because the more unrighteous decisions we make, the more we'll defend them, and more we'll gather together with people who have like mindset, because we don't want to deal with the shame and the guilt. And it just continues to go down, down, down. So don't buy into the fact that people say, I'm happier now than ever. Will there be people out there like that? And are there justifiable divorces like that? Yeah, my own mother separated for 6 years, and she was happier outside of the rage of my dad than being with it. I'm not a fool on this, but I think you get my drift. But my counsel is to stay in the marriage and learn how to deal with what appears to be this wife's manipulation and control and condemnation of him, which is really the result of her fears. It's the result of her insecurities. She's not at peace within herself. This is her issue, not his issue. He suffers because of her, not because she controls him, but because he lets her control him. And that's a big distinction. He fears World War III will break out, so feels he must lose, which is what he said, to make her happy. Truth is, this is less about her control of him and far more about his fear of her. And that's an important distinction. And Jonathan, jump in at any moment if something arises from a clinical standpoint that makes me heretical. But he needs to take a look at himself as a man. He need not become harsh and cold to shield himself against her control, but he needs to learn how to be a man with inner strength and contentment, and here's kind of the secret, in the face of a wife who turns unhappy and coercive. He needs to hear 1 Corinthians 16:13, which says, stand firm in the faith, act like men. Act like men, be strong. Act like men, be strong. Jonathan, would you continue reading what I had to say there?
He needs to be a man of principle. He needs to act in the way he believes is right and true, regardless of her attacks on him. When she attacks, he needs to stay engaged as a man's man. Tender but firm in his faith in God and his position. He need not be obstinate, but neither should he kowtow to her every whim. Keep going?
Yep.
Will it get worse before it gets better? Most likely. This is her tactic, but this leaves her unhappy, and him. Here's what my experience tells me. She doesn't want to react to him this way, and she may be reacting this way precisely because she does not see him as a strong male. For this reason, going into conflict, he needs to know what he thinks is right, concede to what is right in her position, and then hold firm on his proposal, which needs to be win-win as best as he can make it. He must not lose in order for her to win any more than he must win by making her lose. The goal as a strong man, firm in his faith, is to create win-win and not back down from his reasonable proposal. He must stay the course on his win-win proposal. As best he can, he needs to enjoy the heated exchange with her, since this will ultimately lead to her happiness and his own. He must not run from the heat, but into the heat. Most women are not obstinate long-term when feeling a husband's loving firmness that is totally reasonable and serving the two of them as a team. Not all decisions may allow for win-win, but most do. There is almost always a third alternative that satisfies both. Though she may explode initially as he remains firm in his faith and strong as a man, most women soften later on. Many husbands have not discovered this and, like this man, thinks he must lose in order for her to win. That only makes her feel worse, not better, in the long run. Then her unhappiness spills over onto him. Thus, he wakes up and concludes, neither of us are happy, so I guess divorce is the answer.
Mm-hmm. And I say, no, no. His strength as a man in creating win-win is the answer. But he must go through the heat each and every time until both realize they're each bringing their best self and ideas to the conflicts. And this is actually resulting in even better decisions. Once they start tasting of that, they can kind of pull out of this. But it's going to take him to take the initiative to do this. And again, I'm not naive. If this wife selfishly gets her way each and every time at his expense, she won't lightly compromise. But he needs to know that most wives by nature, and this is very important, this has been my 40 years of experience, do not want to get their way 100% of the time, since they have a deeper value than just getting their way. The sense of teamwork, the sense of connection that women long for outweighs the specific decision on the table. She wants that feeling of unity more than she wants her way, and he needs to keep that truth in his mind. And this is why then he needs to kind of just step to the plate here, stay humble, stay content, stay strong, be reasonable. As I said before, make a concession where she's right. But, you know, you're going to have to go through some of this. And I really do believe that women have said to me, you know, it's like my husband was a white picket fence. I'd go out and kick it every once in a while, still see if it was sturdy. And this makes no sense to us as men. But women, in many cases, want, are you man enough? Are you strong enough to stay engaged with me? I don't want you to be mean. I don't want you to be harsh. I don't want you to explode. But I want you to be that calm, strong man, and that's actually going to cause me to feel more secure. And typically what happens within 24 hours, if not 2 hours, most wives after a heated moment like this where she's obstinate will come back and say, no, I was wrong. Thank you for the way you were so loving through this, and your position is really wiser than mine. And yeah, let's go your way this time, or what about this? And it almost inevitably, if there's any degree of goodwill, that's what's going to happen. So if you're a gentleman listening to this today and you think, you know, divorce is only the option here because my wife's got to be right all the time, it's her way or the highway, those are scripts that are inaccurate. You be who God calls you to be in this situation. And if you need to do your homework more, if you need to get more insight and wisdom on the particular issue, then you got to do your work. You got to be in this wholeheartedly. You can't be in this half-heartedly. And this is a real test of your leadership. But I'm going to tell you, women want spiritual leadership. They don't want to be dominant over the man. They don't want him to be, where she can wear the pants. Women hunger for male leadership that is loving and firm like I'm talking about. The culture of feminism may say that's not true, but all of my experience with women, they'd say, that's absolutely the way I feel. I just don't want him to be mean with me, and I want him to take my feelings into consideration. And I'm smart enough to know that we're going to have stalemates at times, and you know, hopefully we'll have negotiations here, but you know what? I'm willing to follow his leadership. If I sense the integrity here, and his heart's in this, and he cares about me and the family, I get it. There can't be two heads in this organization. I get it, women will say. But let's shift now to this lady who is feeling stupid. And I'll set it up and then you can read what I wrote to her. As this wife above who felt stupid up against her brilliant husband, this nuclear engineer, she began to believe the lie that she was really stupid and wrong. And Jonathan, read what I wrote to her in part.
He said, thanks so much for reaching out. My heart goes out to you because I can sense your sweet spirit and obedient, humble heart. But you have been misled. You are not below average in intelligence. I can tell that from your letter. And your husband's frustration and impatience with you is not your fault, and it is not your issue. It is his issue. It also has nothing to do with his intelligence. Many extremely intelligent people are patient, gentle, and kind. Your husband sounds like a perfectionist who has learned to treat his wife disrespectfully by living with a father who treated his mother the same way. He learned that it's not okay to make mistakes, so he became a perfectionist to reduce the chance of his father directing his criticism and humiliation at him.
And those, let me insert, that was information that she gave. I don't think we commented on that earlier, but she had also she went into his family of origin a little bit, so let me just jump in there, but go ahead.
But even a brilliant perfectionist makes mistakes, and the pressure and stress of trying to be perfect out of fear of being a failure results in depression and deep-seated anger and frustration that spills over onto you. I am not saying your husband does not have goodwill. I'm sure he loves you and is not aware of how demeaning his comments are to you. The examples you give are human, ordinary mistakes. You no doubt have many strengths that your husband does not have. In fact, many are evident from your email: patience, empathy, a forgiving spirit, gentleness, and a sense of humor. The Bible calls those virtues. God has created you with many unique gifts that your husband is very blessed to be the recipient of. You are a jewel. Do not believe that the lies that you are stupid and incompetent. We all do stupid things and make mistakes, even your husband, but that does not make us stupid.
I mean, I'm burdened when men are treating their wives this way, and women struggle already with whether or not he loves me as much as I love him, and they're, you know, reading between the lines, you know, and they feel his dismissive attitude as really a rejection of her, and so on and so forth. But the struggle for such a person, like this lady, is to live with this quote-unquote brilliant scientist who angrily lips off about his wife's ineptness. But the question is, can she allow for this without letting him define who she is? And that's a very important point. Many wives in particular through the years have struggled with this according to what they've shared with me. They give voice to the fact that they have no voice. They identify themselves as a person who has no identity. And this pain is real, and my heart goes out to them. But she has to come to a place where she derives her sense of self from what God says about her as a human being. And I think of the Proverbs 31 woman, Proverbs in the Old Testament, and Proverbs 31:25 says, "Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future." Strength and dignity. Every godly woman needs to be a woman of strength and dignity in the face of a husband who makes her feel weak and undignified. Now, this is easier said than done, but this is the path you have to take. This very marital problem, though, allows her the opportunity to make that decision, and this is her decision. She is not a hopeless, helpless victim who has no option but to feel like an imbecile who can never do anything right. No, her husband's opinion of her does not define who she is. Her husband's opinion of her only shows how foolish he is. In this wife's case, she may be married to a rocket scientist, but that only means he has a high IQ. Having intelligence does not mean one possesses wisdom. I have met more foolish, smart people than I care to remember. What such a wife needs to avoid is becoming what this wife shared. And this is another woman who wrote in, and this is where you can go way, way beyond what's appropriate. This other gal wrote, "Nothing I do in my husband's eyes is ever good enough, never right." And all those crazy women from his past, he brought up about former girlfriends that he told me about, he was so glad that he found me, a wonderful, sane woman, but all of a sudden I became worthless and useless, and all these other women were wonderful and amazing. And I tried to prove myself. I tried to give him a reason to change his attitude, but it just became worse. The harder I tried and the worse it got, the only time anything changed was if I would completely lose it and blow up, and then only temporarily. And you know, women just have to have something to yell about, and they will rant and rave, and then they will get over it and everything will be okay. But not me. I just rant and rant. I was yelling and cussing and acting like some crazy person I knew I was not. And when I started throwing things, I knew things had to change. So, Jonathan, you have any comment? I mean, that's what we want to challenge the woman listening. Don't move into that. Your husband isn't making you become that type of person, though the pain is certainly understandable in such a way that you'd want to become crazy. But any thoughts on challenging the woman not to step over that boundary?
Well, I think whether, you know, with the women in this example, or this particular woman, right, with kind of going to the extreme on one side, or we might reference this man's passivity on the other side, it is, you know, either shutting down, you know, or blowing up. I mean, those extremes, you've got to do your best, you know, to avoid those. And those are people that often ended up on my, you know, a doorstep. They either fear they're about to enter those extremes, or they have been in it for some period of time, and it becomes, you know, even more, you know, exhausting if they'd recognize something was going on before then and began to take some of these steps that you're talking about.
Yeah, well said. That's exactly right. And again, we're not talking about your relationship being fair to you right now. The gentleman who entered into passivity, as you referenced, or this woman that we just added here who blew up and just went crazy. The pain is real. We're not minimizing that. But what we are saying is that, you know what, this isn't new under the sun, and others have gone through these things. And what you must not let happen is that person's failure to be who they're supposed to be cause you end up to be who God does not call you to be. And I want to bring up Abigail and Nabal again. A couple weeks ago we did, but there's another side here that we need to be reminded of, and that is, she was a woman who I see as maintaining this strength and dignity that Proverbs 31 talks about. You know, Nabal, her husband, was a fool. That's what his name means. And when this husband and wife are introduced to the Bible, we read, "The woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance," that's Abigail, "but the man, Nabal, was harsh and evil in his dealings. And even Nabal's servant said about him, quote, 'He is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him.'" So, I mean, that means that Abigail couldn't get through to him, and we know in the story she couldn't even talk to him because he was inebriated at one point. But when we read about Abigail, who eventually married King David after Nabal died of a heart attack, she was a woman of incredible dignity and composure in the face of all this, and King David recognized that and proposed to her. And who Nabal failed to be did not cause Abigail to fail to be who God called her to be. And this is the challenge for every woman out there. Abigail was a woman of strength. She was a woman of dignity, independent of Nabal. However, that didn't make her life easy. But, you know, if you're in the suffering, you're either going to go through the suffering with strength and dignity, or you're going to go through the suffering with weaknesses and without dignity. I mean, all of us could say, you know what, the suffering's unfair, and we can pout and whine all day long that it ought not to be. It's called the moral ought. It ought not to be. Morally, it ought not to be. Okay, all right. So now where's that going to get us? You are where you're at. But this need not be wasted for you. You can experience some degree of redemption through this by becoming and being the person that God calls you to be. Your spouse is not causing this in you. This is an opportunity for you to reveal to your children, to family, to friends, to others, that you are this quality woman or you are this quality husband. And the truth is, God honored Abigail for not losing her strength of character and her self-respect. Jonathan, you want to read the conclusion here?
Yes, the offender will affect us emotionally. We are not robots indifferent to unkind comments. But at the end of the day, neither are we robots that they can control. A mature adult must grasp that mere negative words cannot determine who God made us to be. The other person does not have the power to create in us their own image. God created us in His image, and this other person has no right or authority to mess with God's image of us and in us. Is your spouse unhappy? That does not predestine you to be an unhappy person. A godly, wise man remains firm in his faith, strong, and acts like a man. He will be who God calls him to be, even though his wife calls him stupid and wrong. As much as that hurts, he will accept the challenge to work hard on managing the household with wisdom by creating win-win proposals. He will not be engaged half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly, as he discovers several months later that his wife is warming up to his strong but humble demeanor and wisdom in his proposals. As for this woman who feels stupid, she will recognize, as did Abigail, that she may not be able to change her Nabal, but as foolish as her husband might be, she is not stupid because he says she is stupid. In the eyes of God, she is a woman of strength and dignity, and she must act in accordance with God's image of her, and in her, not her husband's image. All of this is a process, but it is a journey that one must take. The good news is that it does not become a dead-end trip. Instead, one begins to realize the inner wisdom one feels and the rightness about how one is living, even if a spouse refuses to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm. Let me just pray for the person out there right now, Jonathan, and I'll let you wrap it up, who's feeling stupid, who's feeling that they are wrong. Lord, you know this is the inner voice we hear. Years of being married, it's tough. The reaction is so firm on the part of our spouse, and they have such a dismissive attitude. Their look alone just sends the message that they feel that we have no brain, that we have two brains. One's lost and the other's out looking for it, and that we're empty-headed idiots. Lord, some people are experiencing this, and it is such a condescending experience, and it is having an adverse effect on themselves, and they are putting themselves in a position possibly to have an affair, to leave this relationship, to do something that ultimately they know is not your call on their life. So, Lord, may we be reminded today that they can experience something in the situation apart from their spouse, that they can experience a strength of character. Be strong as you call the man. Be a woman of strength as you call the woman, that there can be this strength of character. There can be this firmness of faith. There can be this dignity. And I pray now, Lord, that they would see this as an unfair suffering, but that this is an opportunity for them to demonstrate to you, to others, and to themselves that they are a quality person. They are a strong person of character. They're a person of principle. And there's nothing that that other person can do to get them to compromise who you are calling them to be in this situation. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, as always, we appreciate you being with us. We appreciate you sharing the message with others, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Take care.
You've been listening to the Love and Respect podcast. For more information and additional products, go to loveandrespect.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Join Emerson and Jonathan next week for another episode.